Hi, everybody. Will here with the Interview Chair, brought to you by K9 Chronicle TV and Pro Plan. This week, from sporting field fame, we have Debbie Butt. And it's going to be interesting. So sit back and relax and enjoy. Everybody, Will Alexander here with this week's Interview Chair, and we have on the chair this week, we have sporting fields fame, Debbie Butt. How are you, Debbie?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you. Never see you anymore.
No, I'm sorry. I've had 3 back surgeries, and it's hard for me to sit for long distances.
Yes.
And I'm down on the border collies because it's hard to lift them on the table and then stand there for an hour or two drying them. I guess it would be back time to go to Whippets back to Whippets.
Exactly. So I want to ask you, I'm going to start off with the first question and then I'm just going to let you go. And if you start to slow down, I'm just going to prod you along.
Okay.
How did you, we all know your family was already in dogs, but tell us how you got started.
So my dad started and made the Sporting Fields Kennel in 1943. He had poodles and spaniels, and I think his handler at the time was Ruth Sayers and Brumby. What was his
Brumby?
Yeah. And at the last Morrison Essex show, they won first and second in a toy group, one with the poodle, one with the pom. And then my mom and dad, my mom worked for Ann Rogers Clark and Jane Forsythe. They would like handle together. And when they were at the Pennequiac Poodle Specialty, I guess in New York or New Jersey, my mom and dad met. And there you go from there. And first they went to out west for a while and were breeding horses. I remember the horses, and my mom always had 2 miniature poodles. And then his parents got sick, and we moved everything back to Pennsylvania. And my mom had always wanted a Whippet. So for one of their wedding anniversaries, I know I was around 7, my dad bought a Whippet from Ann Rogers Clark. And well, that was the beginning. And the next thing I know, my dad went big or nothing at all. The next thing I knew, all the horses were being sold and we had a kennel and dogs. And that's how the Whippet started. I was 7 years old, I think, when I won my first anything at a dog show.
How did you get introduced to dog shows? Like you're with your mom working for Annie and Jeannie and your father having all these famous handlers as well. It must have been an incredible upbringing.
So. Yeah, but honestly, for me, the beginning was the Whippets. And we had our first litter when I was around 7, and I picked out my own puppy. And they bred to Ruth Sayers, one of Ruth Sayers' dogs. And she was to get pick of the puppy. And I was so scared she would pick my puppy. We went out on a long walk on the farm, and I took him with me. And I guess my mom and dad got it sorted out, but she didn't take my puppy. And that was the beginning of it all.
So,
and then they started entering them at dog shows, and they had better Whippets. So they had, one was from Dress Circle Kennel, and that was, what was their kennel name? His name was Rocky, I know, and they were campaigning him. And I guess one time they got Ruth Tongren to be nice and not put him up, but put my dog up for his last point. But I was hooked from the very first time I went in the ring. I got a 2nd out of 3. We beat somebody, and I was hooked.
Who was your first dog? What was his name?
Namu. Like the killer whale.
What was his registered name?
Sporting Fields Charter Oak. And for a while, I made Charter Oak.
Okay.
Sporting Fields Charter Oak. And for a while, you know, fast forward, I had gotten some deer hounds and wanted my own kennel name, and I did Charter Oak, but that went by the wayside. The deer hounds, not so much, but I realized that you should keep your family's kennel name.
I agree. So you're,
and now,
you're,
you know, my parents are first, I was second, Amanda and Ashley and Lindsay are third generation. And now we have little Rowan. So hopefully she'll be a fourth generation.
I'm sure. How can she not?
Yeah, that's what I would say, but who knows? She might, she's been being drugged to dog shows since she was 10 minutes old. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go back to you're a child now. You're showing dogs. What was the, like, besides your first dog, what was your first impactful moment at dog shows? And your parents had so many great winners, and so did you.
Right.
I don't want to miss any of those. So
tell me what you mean. What do you mean by impactful? Because you're talking to a kid here that was 7 to 9 years old. So can't say it was too impactful.
We can go past your 7 to 9, but what was the first dog past your first dog, Mamu, that you really had?
So I won our first best in Whippet best in show with a veteran bitch, Winterfold's Bold Bid, and I was in my teens, and we were in junior handling. My parents campaigned me and my sisters, like, they sent us everywhere. We had to be number one junior handler, blah, blah, blah. So I was never happier to turn 17. And then we imported a dog from England, Charmal Plansman. And Richard Suffolkle and his partner sent Dedalia Cerulea to be bred to, we called him Boy. To Plansman. And in that litter, they got a little girl. They sent a bitch named Dedalia. Her name was Marmalade. And they said we couldn't keep her. And Bob Forsythe showed her and did some group winning and whatnot. And then we had to send her back. And he said, well, we got another really good one from the litter. And that ended up being Sporting Fields Clansman, who then was number one hound. He won a group at Westminster. Bob Forsythe retired while showing him. And so that was our first big winning dog.
That was,
and I was lucky enough to win his first best in show, his last best in show, and some in the middle, but mostly Bob Forsythe did all that.
Yeah. Do you remember? Oh, you obviously do, but what was it like being around Bob and Jane during that time?
Like you and I were just talking, it was the best of times. And we had a motorhome, they had the Bluebird, and we always had to go up to New England because they didn't really come south that much. And you met so many famous people and so many famous dogs. And Nancy Martin was their assistant at the time. Elliot was there. How was his last name? Was another assistant.
Elliot Moore, Elliot Weiss.
Yes, Moore. That's okay. Him. So I got to meet really cool people while they were, you know, assistants. We were in junior handling with Donald Sturz, Mike Scott, his brother Doug Scott, Greg Strawn's brother, who sadly passed away as a teen. And Carmen Herbel. We just grew up with some really neat people.
Yeah.
And,
for sure.
And I loved, Bob and Jane had this big lobster dinner every year party, all the handlers and judges and everybody came. And what else I loved is when we would go to Westminster, everybody would congregate in a hotel room and they would talk dogs all night and we'd fall asleep listening, but they would, we saw this dog in Chicago and this one. And the judges were truly excited to find new young animals and put them up. And I don't know if it's still that way today, but we just got to learn so much.
Sure. What was it like when Boy won the group of the garden?
Oh my gosh. My heart was in my throat. We were so excited. We knew he had a chance. I think he'd gotten second the year before to that gorgeous Harrier, Jill, I think her name was.
Oh, when Stan showed, yes.
Yeah. Who showed her? Yeah.
Stan and Jane and Flowers. Stan and Jill. Yeah. Stan Flowers did, didn't he? Yeah.
Was it, Stan? She was beautiful. So the following year, we got lucky and he won. And then Bobby Barlow went best in show with the pug.
The pug, Woodchuck.
Yeah. Woodchuck.
Wow. What a year.
We got great memories, don't we?
We do.
We got great memories. And I love going to Canada and hanging out with you and Allison and all the Canadian people. I just love those days.
Oh, we had a good time, didn't we?
Yeah, and just so many talented dog people up there at that time. And we'd go, who are the Borzoi people? That's where we go to their parties.
Dick and John, yeah.
Dick and John, yeah. How can I forget that? It was just awesome.
Oh, for sure. We really had some good times. And that's when I think Garrett was showing your Smooth that you bred then, Gadget.
So, Yeah. And then we had another Smooth in Brazil doing a lot of winning. A lot of people forget that Tony Lett and them owned Gadget, right?
Yeah, Tony and
people
Tris.
People forget that we bred Smooth Fox Terriers. I sometimes forget.
Okay. So let's go back. So your parents are breeding Whippets. When did you really take over the Whippets?
Probably after my father passed away. And yeah, we just had a lot of Whippets. So I had a lot on my plate trying to spay, neuter, and I made a few mistakes. I placed some dogs I shouldn't have, but it was just an overwhelming time. And I wish I could get back some of those dogs. And Leslie Potts was there at the time and she kind of knew him even better. And I wish I would have leaned on her a little bit more. You know, she had real hands. So I don't know. In those
situations, was Leslie working at the kennel then?
Yeah, they lived on, my mom and dad had a big estate and she lived in a little house with Mike Reed, and she was managing the Whippets.
Wow. And like how many Whippets would have been there approximately?
Oh, too many. A lot. Those were the days where you could go to like Stony Meadows and there'd be 100 dogs, and Sporting Fields there could be 100 dogs. I mean, there's back in those days, it wasn't a crime to be a breeder.
Right.
And, you know, the dogs just, and everybody had large estates and the dogs were running and playing and life was good. But those days are now it's almost a criminal offense to be a dog breeder. Boy, it's so sad.
Those great kennels, without those great kennels, we would have missed so much. So
I know. Yeah. And there was so many big, and back in, I don't wish things didn't change the way they did, but maybe it was for the best. I don't know.
I think the benefits that came out of those large breeding programs outweighed the negatives.
I agree. I mean, you had the giant schnauzers, you had Karen with the Borzoi, you just had so many great large kennels. There were Saluki kennels on the West Coast. And now I'm really sad we don't have Bo anymore because he was such a great historian. If I made any mistakes, I'd hear about it.
Yeah, he was something.
He was. He did an article on Salukis, the two main Saluki kennels in California. And it's like, it was just amazing. So awesome. I wish every breed or group had a historian like he was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe there'll be somebody else.
Won't be me. I'm dyslexic and can't spell.
So let's go back. Let's go. I want to find out. Like you had that dog. What was it? I forget his name. That's horrible. He was just on the tip of my tongue. The dog that you had in Canada, the Whippet dog.
Luke.
Yes.
Kinsman. His name was Kinsman. Yeah. And we called him Luke.
Yeah, I remember him now. I remember him well because he came to Credit Valley that one year and won all the best in shows.
I know. And I was not very, people, you all weren't very happy with us.
Oh, I liked seeing him. I was excited. So,
well, I guess whatever standing you were in coming in, you went out and nobody made an upset except us.
That's for sure. Because Cascada Valley back then was our biggest show of the year. And that was the last show of our of the year, too. So
Yeah,
it was our biggest show of the year back then. And it was being our last show of the year. It was everybody's last chance at the can. So they all showed up all across the country. And like for our like our population isn't even as big as your state of Texas. So for us to get, like back then we'd get, I don't know, 1,200 dogs. And that was big for us. So,
right.
Yeah.
Does that show still happen?
It is. It's on a much smaller scale now. It's they've changed venues. Instead of being downtown Toronto, it's on the outskirts more. So it's, I think just the cost of everything got in the way.
The
facilities, hotels, parking. We tried to do a dog show with the Royal a couple of years ago, Royal Winter Fair, which is downtown Toronto. And it was just, it was a great event. I think the area scared people. They didn't want to go and spend that money and then hotels and parking and the hassle of getting downtown. And like back in the day, like I like even Westminster, it was daunting thinking about going, but you wanted to go.
So. Yeah, not really. You know, I'm happy I don't go anymore. But do you guys still have those big time handlers, but new ones now?
For sure. There's always a role, you know,
And I need to get your Canadian magazine again because I don't know anything about what's going on up there.
Okay, I'll make sure Linda or Sean send you. There's two major magazines, and I'll talk to both of them.
Yeah, and I would be more than happy to prescribe to them. I just would like to know what's happening in Canada. Sure.
Of course. Well, I'll talk to them both. So you went from Whippets. Was Luke wasn't near the end for you. There was still a lot more dogs after Luke.
Yeah, but Luke, so Klansman Boy and Luke were like, as it turns out, we thought they tied the record, but I wanted to stop because my mom was passing away from cancer and Boy was her heart dog. So I could tell she didn't want Luke to break it. And I had counted the Canadian best in shows. So it wasn't American best in shows. So I stopped too soon, but that's okay. They were both around 59 best in shows.
Hmm. And that was the record for Whippets then?
Then, yeah. You know, it might still be for male Whippets. I'm not sure. And yeah, we had a lot of great Whippets after that. We had, Rock On. He, Mrs. Clark gave him the last national he won. He got, I think, two best opposites. I'm terrible with my memory. But and then our other dog, his son, Hot Topic, produced national specialty winners. So we've won 7 national specialties.
And how many have you shown?
Well, I showed Luke to the national wins. And I think Rock On are the two I showed. My mom's little girl after Jam Swayze showed.
Oh, wow.
I'm drawing a blank. Amanda won.
Yeah, I didn't want to come and remind you about Amanda. I was waiting for you.
Yeah, we got to have Amanda there. She's won national with Brazen. Yeah. And she also won Royal Canin Group 1, I think, twice, and Westminster Group 2 once. And so we have several different Whippets that Amanda's been showing and doing well with. Right now, we're not showing a Whippet.
There's a picture of when Brazen won the group at Yukonuba. And I was right behind Amanda with the PBGV, and we're shaking hands as she's getting the ribbon. It was really fun.
Oh, that's so good cool. Picture. Yeah. Which judge was that?
Was it Houston or Houston? I can't remember. Well,
she won 2. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was Houston, Clark, or Eugene. It was one of them.
Okay. I think it was Houston for some reason that year.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It was exciting.
It was a lot of fun. So, were you sure Amanda was going to want to get involved in dogs when she was younger?
No,
I remember her as a junior.
Yeah, they didn't have much choice. They just got drugged to the dog shows. And yeah, she and my oldest daughter and Amanda did junior handling. I'm trying to think. I don't think Ashley did a little bit with the Fox Terrier. But Amanda's the one that really stuck. And for a while, she was moving away from it. And I got this really beautiful Whippet bitch. And And she got, I even packed her in the car to go to Canada, and she got her first Best in Show under Frank Sabella.
Oh, wow.
And Amanda just became hooked then, and she's been wonderful.
Oh, she's an amazing handler. So she's fun to watch as well. So over the years, who would you consider your major mentors in, not just in your breeds, in the sport for you?
I would say Annie Clark.
Yeah.
And so I would be terrified when she was looking down at me talking, and through my mom and dad, and she would judge junior handling a lot, and she would give us handling advice. But you know, it meant so much to my mom what Annie Clark thought. And so meant that much to me. And Frank Sabella, he's lived at our house a lot. We'd all go trail riding, and I remember when Amanda was little, she was taking ballet lessons and showed him what she learned that day.
Amazing.
We had Richard Guevara living there. We just had a wonderful time with wonderful friends and people.
Wow, Richard Guevara. I haven't heard that name in a long time. So
I know. Usually yeah. Frank and he would have to take turns making Amanda toast in the morning.
That's a good story for Amanda to tell at some point.
Yeah, I don't even know if she remembers. And when she showed Frank her ballet move, it was like a twirl and a fall on the ground. And he's like, well, what's that? And she goes, I'm a falling leaf.
Aw.
I know.
Wow, what an upbringing with those people around. It's crazy.
I know. And when we were in Florida for the Florida circuit, oh my gosh, we had so many people. We were... Michelle Billings' husband was a boat captain, and she lived down there, and there was Jane Kay. So great people down in South Florida. It was always fun. And yeah, and all the handlers from North, except Bob and Jane, would come down.
They wouldn't do the Florida circuit?
No, that was their time off, and there was no changing their mind. And that's okay. What? I got to win.
There you go. Yeah. So when did you slow down on Whippets?
I don't know. About 20 years ago, I got really into Border Collies. We won the National last year, both days. The Whippets, I guess the last one I really campaigned was Rock On. And then Amanda kind of took over. And I would say we were living in Virginia, and when my back surgery started, I cut way, way, way back. And now I only have two Whippets and four Border Collies. And like I said, my first Border Collie litter. But I have wonderful people like David and Gina Samuelson. They breed with us. They're dashing Whippets. And my vet, Jennifer Brisbois, and another person, Catherine Cole Clark, you know, they have Whippet litters, and there's Sporting Fields. David and Gina's is Sporting Fields and Dashing. And we have a wonderful group of people together to keep it alive.
Oh, so Sporting Fields is still out there then? It's still an active?
Yes, and breeding. Yeah. Yep. And we all agree on the health testing that, you know, so that was important that we all kind of were on the same page of where we wanted to take our breed. You know, some of us have differences in opinion and taste on type or what, but, you know, we let each other do what we can, and it's fun. It's really great.
So,
and I hope someday Amanda isn't showing so much that she could actually breed some more Whippets or breed the Border Collies. And, you know, especially when Rowan starts going to school, I mean, I'd like to see them homeschool, or to be honest, but we'll see. And they're worried about homeschooling from the road, but there's so many wonderful computer programs now.
It's amazing now. You can almost do anything. Yeah. So.
And look at how socialized we kids that grew up at dog shows are.
Over-socialized, probably.
Yeah. I think we're quite good. I know little Rowan, people come up to her and talk to her and smile at her. And she's got this look on her face like, you wonder what she's thinking.
We'll find out someday for sure.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we don't want to know.
So you started the Border Collies in what year, you remember? Approximately.
I don't know.
20 years ago?
About 20. I'd have to look at my... And I... It was really hard to research Border Collies. I knew I liked certain dogs. And I had a friend down here that had them. And she's like, well, the dogs you like come from Border Fane kennels in Australia. And I started connecting the dots. And then I went to their second national specialty in Sydney area. And I got to see all the dogs. And I'm like, okay, I like that kind of movement. I like this type. And I became friends with Helena Fitzgerald of Border Fane and Lauren Summers of Narhoff. And my first bitch came pregnant, and it was Border Fane and Narhoff combined, and we got our first big winning Border Collie, who was Border Fane's signature, who was a great sire, and he produced my heiress, who is the top winning Border Collie female, and she won the breed at the World Show in Paris, and then opposite at the World Show in Salzburg. And she's my love, and I lost her last year. But we got two really pretty new puppies.
Oh, good. So what made you choose Border Collies?
I was sort of dating the neighbor. He had a Border Collie.
I was sort of dating the neighbor.
Yeah, I love it. And then I lived near Frank Bayless. Yeah, and Frank Bayless brought Helena over, and I got to know her, and I got to know Frank's. I wasn't really all that interested in him, though, but I liked my neighbor's dog. And that's sort of... And then I went to Canada, and... I ran into Maxine Netherway and got a board. I fell in love. We went to her house and I bought a new puppy for the neighbor. And I fell in love with a little blue bitch there. And I said, let me just take her to finish. And we were out moving cattle one day. And they're like, do you think that dog would help? And I'm like, I don't know. I said, Blue, go. And she just went right up the middle and would. And if she got too close, I said, easy, easy. And it was amazing what that bitch knew. Really? And from that moment on, I'm like, what a beautiful mind.
Yeah.
And I
just instinctual. It's crazy.
Yeah. And she never went home. She stayed with me till she died.
Wow. Well, it's really incredible to watch them when they just walk into a situation
they
and know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, Maxine had a working sheep farm, but she had a lot of dogs. So I don't know. Border Collies learn from watching other Border Collies. So she probably heard a lot and saw a lot, but I don't think she had any direct training. Mm-hmm. But she just knew. The breed's amazing. My daughter's first Border Collie from the neighbor up the road, she taught him like 25 tricks in sign language. Why sign language? I have no clue. By 3 months. And they're just amazing. Whippets are just as smart. They just don't want to do repetitive things.
They don't want to be bothered.
We did that last year. Why do we have to do it again?
So you still have two more Whippets. You have two Whippets left.
At my house. Yeah.
At your house.
I hope to breed them, but I don't know if I can physically raise a whippet litter. They're like tornadoes with teeth.
Yeah.
So I'll need help with that.
And so when did the smooth start? When did the smooths end?
When I met Tony, the girl's dad, he was working for a smooth fox terrier kennel in Nadell. His last name was Nadell in Houston. And
oh gosh. Yeah.
And then when he left there, I had fallen in love with a bitch named Queenie. She was by Tarb the Brat, the dog that Rick Shishudian showed. And then he was showing a dog named Macho Macho Man, and there was Harold Nadeau kept him, but there was a red and white dog that he let us have. So they were our first two. And I mean, my kids were little. So it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And when did they end? Probably when Tony and I got divorced. But I think the girl in California that's doing all the winning now, Amy. So Amy had some of our dogs. She had somebody, what's his name? And so I'm always proud to think our dogs are behind her great dogs. And then we sent two to Brazil that did a lot of winning, but they did come back. And I'd say when Tony and I got divorced, it sort of just fizzled out, the Smooths. Smooths can be, they're great house dogs, and they were great on the farm, but they don't like being kennel dogs, and they like to bark. And if you put them in a kennel, they're going to mess in the kennel and jump through it and on it. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was just better for them not to be. And if they decided to have a fight, there wasn't much you could do to persuade them not to.
What was the kennel name of the Smooths? Were they Sporting Field or were they?
Proud Fox. Tony wanted his own kennel name, so he came up with Proud Fox.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember. I remember Inspector Gadget. I couldn't remember his kennel name. So
Proud Fox, yeah.
So how come you've never stepped into the ring and decided to judge?
Good question. I don't like stewarding. I keep doing the stewarding I need to do, and then I don't finish. And now, honestly, it's my back. I don't know that I could fly here, there, and everywhere. It's hard for me to sit more than 20 minutes. Mm. Like when you and I are finished, I'll have to go lie down for a while.
Oh, geez.
That's it's not good, fun, but you know how it is. Getting old is not fun.
It's mileage. I don't call it age. I call it mileage. So
mileage, yes.
That's such a shame, though, that you never got to judge. You have done some judging, obviously, like sweepstakes and whatnot.
Futurity and some sweepstakes. I mean, I did a deer hound. Yeah, I've done futurities and stuff, but I just love breeding and creating, and it's like a work of art. But I honestly don't think I could travel very much.
No, not now. That's a shame. What if someone said they want you to judge the Whippet National? Would you?
Yeah, as long as it's not in California or Oregon, or if it's within a decent, like where I could fly there easily and go a day or two ahead of time, I would do that.
Would you? Because I think you should do that. I'm hoping that someone's listening to this.
If they ever vote me in, I'll do it. As long as it's not on the West Coast.
But they get a huge entry, don't they? The Whippet Special.
They do. Yeah, and I don't know what it was this year. And I would have liked to have gone because Jan judged, and we've been friends for years and years and years. And Amanda, they're campaigning the Berger and the Sheepdogs, so they couldn't take time off to go to the Whippet National.
Yeah, they're a busy couple.
They are.
So what's next for Debbie?
I'm breeding and showing cats.
Oh, I think you did tell me that. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How did Debbie Butt start breeding cats?
Well,
there's a lot of dog people that breed cats.
Yes. And the better question is, why did I choose the largest breed with the most hair? Because when my back is really hurting by the end of the day. My oldest daughter loves doing it, and I have a roommate so they can carry the cats when it gets to be too much for me. But grooming them is so hard. I think the only thing that would be harder is like Pekingese and poodles, but Maine Coons are really hard to groom because they get greasy, and you have to do like 3 and 4 twice a week before the show to make sure their coat is fresh, and their coat being fresh is really important.
I've never been to a cat show. I really, I don't know how they do it, how it's been done, or
and training kittens is super easy. It's a lot easier than puppies, where you have to be out there running and stacking, and you know, as long as they like to play and they're not afraid of noise and people, they're easy peasy.
I have another question for you. What if a youngster came up to you and said they wanted to start breeding dogs, what advice would you give them?
Well, I do try to mentor people, and you know, I give handling lessons, and you know, I say, you know, get mentors, get, you know, and go to dog shows. And I'm sure you had to do with all your breeds. See what you like, figure out what kennel you like, what type you like, and go for it, you know, and just get people to help you.
Because they will, for the most part. I find dog show people, once you show interest in their breed, they tend to warm up right to you pretty fast. So,
you know, and just always go forward with a humble heart. I learn something new every day. Like, you know, if I wanted to know about your breeds, I would ask you. And I just think it's really important to stay curious and stay humble.
Yeah. I've spent enough time with you when you were here that I think generally you could probably judge any breed. So
I have an opinion on pretty much every breed.
Like, you do, but you have an eye too that, I think we all have to have that eye to be successful in this sport. I think you can recognize a good dog in almost any breed. So.
Like, I would love to judge poodles. Why? But I love poodles. And I love Montgomery, because terrier people seem to have a type, and they, even though if they don't like each other, they have a look and a type. And there's so many talented terrier people.
Oh, my God, yes.
They're just so amazing. And they're, you know, back when we were, PCA was at Ludwig's Corners, and Buddy was still alive, and Joey, and they would just have the most amazing poodles. And then you had your famous, I can't think of the name of it, from Canada, probably one of the most famous poodle kennels, right? And Allison showed for him.
Oh, Darwin, yes. Yeah, Darwin.
Yeah.
Linda Campbell.
Yep. Yeah, and then we got to see Peter, and it's so many great poodles.
Yeah. Well, Linda's just down the road from me. Linda's kennel is just down the road from me. Every once in a while, I get to go there and see poodle puppies, so it's fun.
Is she still actively breeding?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not as much up here anymore, mostly in America, but she does have some dogs here, so.
Who does she have showing down in America?
And you can ask me that. Sarah. What's Sarah's last name?
Sarah, she's married. Yeah, Sarah. Yeah.
I can't think of her. Isn't that awful? Ain't that?
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. They'll understand. They'll be in our shoes one day where we can remember 30 years ago, but we can't remember yesterday.
Oh, exactly. Isn't that awful?
It is. I'll walk into the kitchen and I'm like, why did I come in here?
It's the truth. Oh, well. One more question, Deb.
Okay.
If you could meet she started really young. I'm going to say the 18-year-old Debbie, but is there any advice you'd give her now?
Yeah, I think as kids, we all think we can do things better than our elders, and respect our elders, and just be polite, and just always keep an open mind and learn from your elders.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and I think it's part of being a kid. You think you know everything.
Oh, my God. I think back when I was younger, I didn't want to listen to anybody. I'm thank God I did, you know. And so
I know, right? Look at you.
Yeah, it's the truth.
And you have a great eye for dogs. I mean, look at the beagles you've shown, and the wonderful people who have been supporting you in beagles. And I guess were they lucky. All from Eddie and his partner?
No, but they all went back to not really. There was, like, I guess Eddie and Lambert had a huge influence on my eye for a beagle. I think I went my own way at one point, but I still,
we were showing against Judy with Luke.
Yeah, I remember. And I was showing, I had the beagle bitch out when Amanda had the bitch out, Raisin. So it was,
we were always. Who was your beagle?
That was Miss P then. That was the one
that
won the
garden. Oh, yeah, I love Miss P. Yeah.
Rydell. Sarah's last name was Rydell.
Rydell, good.
That's so she doesn't know I'm a complete fool.
Right.
Oh, well. Well, that's true, though. It's, I think, in learning, mentoring, there was an article last week, about where have all the mentors gone. I think Jane Alston actually wrote it. It was for Canine Chronicle, and it was a great read. It was a great read because we do need mentors. I always call, in my seminars, I call it standing on the shoulders of giants, and make sure you pick the right giant to stand on their shoulders because it means so much, so.
I wonder if there's a way to make some sort of a mentor program.
I'm sure there is.
I think it'd be hard to mentor handling, but for breeding, I don't know. I wish people would come up and ask us.
I'm just wondering if sometimes they're so new that they feel intimidated. And with today's social media, they're not as brazen as we were, you know, in person.
Yeah, we didn't have anything to keep our attention except learning dogs.
Exactly. So, I don't know, you're still campaigning quarters. There's still active sporting field whippets. I don't know what else you can do, Debbie.
I'm drawing my cats.
Oh, cats.
Yeah, but I'm raising these two border collie puppies, and Amanda asked if she could take one or two of them home to work with and train, so I'm really excited about that. We have a tricolor boy and a black and white girl, and hopefully I'll breed one of these two whippets and have some really beautiful puppies. I want to use some of my old semen and try to bring it forward. I'm really... I'm worried about all the breeds of dogs, how their front end is too far forward and there's just not enough angulation. And, you know, I want to go back to some of our old semen and see if we can't recreate that.
Idea. Can't you ever, it's hard to imagine a world without dogs.
I know.
Like I have two dogs laying here right now watching me and they're.
Right. You know,
so it's I sometimes do interview with people and they don't have any dogs anymore. And I can't imagine that. So
I know. Yeah. Well, and animal rights people want us to not have dogs and not have cats. And I don't understand their thinking, but it's, you know, the bills we have to fight that they're always trying to pass in each state. I mean, they're doing their level best to, do you have that in Canada?
Oh, for sure we do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
They're always fighting something, you know.
I am thankful that we don't, in our two countries, because I talk to different people around the world, and you can't breed a cat or a dog unless it's, like, pretty much perfect. And you can't do anything less than a certain inbreeding coefficient. And it's just... I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with dogs, with them telling you how you have to breed and what you have to breed.
Right. Yeah. Can you imagine back in the day, it's some of the dogs we wouldn't have today in our history. So
I know. Yeah.
Well, one last thing. Is there any final advice you want to give dog people before I let you go?
Yeah, let's work on shoulders and let's be mentors and let's walk up to people and ask lots of questions and just don't think you know everything, you know, and talk to us oldies and hear what we have to say. And I like to talk to the new young people and see their opinions on things.
Sure.
Because there's no real right or wrong. We're all learning.
Right. But a wealth of information like yourself is someone that should be called upon. I know I would if I were close to you and I had your breeds especially. So.
Well, thank you. You're awesome. You have a great eye too.
Oh, thanks.
Do you still have, do you breed at all?
I co-breed with some people. Yes, I co-breed Irish like Setters with Jill. Okay. Yeah, co-breed and Beagles as well. So I have one Bouvier that's my house dog. So,
are they nice, sweet dogs?
Oh yeah, he's getting older, so he's getting grumpy now. But he's okay. Good dog. He's a good dog.
How'd you get a Bouvier? Was it his client?
Now you're interviewing me.
Sorry.
No, I. Do you remember I worked for Gary McDonald years ago? Gary's main breed was Bouviers. We showed a lot of Bouviers. So when Gary passed away, I kind of took over the Bouviers.
Good.
And this dog is a son of a dog I used to show, but the breeder of this dog is Bill Miller, who bred two of Gary's most famous dogs, Bo Jest and Bandit, who are both top dog all breed in Canada. So it's sort of... a sort of a continuation.
You know, I think it's great interviewing each other because we just have so much history and so many memories and dogs a lot of these people have never heard of before.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I remember spending time with you at
Allison
Tony and Chris.
I said hi.
I will for
tell
sure.
Allison I said hi. Yeah.
I will for sure. We're talking tomorrow. We have a plan. So, all right, Debbie. Good. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad we finally got this together. It took a while, but it worked out. So
and I
here
hope
we are.
You warm up. I'll send you some of our 90 degrees if you want.
Well, thank you. All right.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. The history is incredible. What you grew up through all those different personalities throughout your life, it's incredible. If you like what you're seeing here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. And don't forget about the podcast, The Dog Show Drive, Canadian Edition, on any platform. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.